Good morning. This is Tom Corcoran. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your will." Then the angel departed from her.
Good morning. I'm Thomas Hall. I'm going to read Luke 1, 39 to 46. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you, woman, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord."
A contemporary word. Martin Kelsey, in his drama of Christmas, writes a paragraph entitled "Encountering Angels." Most of us think we might like to have an encounter with a friendly angel. We forget that any such encounter strikes humans with a combination of awe, wonder, and terror. An experience of a real angel would be like looking over the edge of the Grand Canyon for the first time and seeing below us the ageless rocks laid out in vast panorama. We would feel insignificant, a mere fragment of both space and time. An angel, an awesome, mysterious, numinous reality, would give us a feeling of the ineffable holy. And we would need to be reminded in any such encounter that we have nothing to fear. The holy not only gives humans an overwhelming sense of being loved, but also makes demands on them just by appearing to them. He says, "I knew a man once who started a practice of praying and keeping a journal and was making great progress. And then he stopped. He told me he had seen some light, and he didn't like it."
A contemporary paraphrase of the Magnificat, Luke chapter 1, 46 to 55 by John Vandalart. We praise you, Holy One, and our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior, for you take notice of the unnoticeable and transform them into the blessed. You are strong and true to yourself, and all that is good in everything you are and do and say, and you do great things for us. Through the ages, you have shown compassion to those who trust you, and in your strength, you have scattered those who are arrogant and abusive. You have made the thrones of tyrants topple, and you have made humble people into leaders of many. You have cared for and provided for those who have nothing, and you have left the oversatisfied with empty hands. You have always been a help to your people and have shown mercy when we have gone astray. You made this promise to our ancestors, and you continue to stay true to it even now. We praise you, Holy One, and our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy, it's heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh.
U.A. Fanthorpe has written a little poem playing on space travel and the Annunciation. Christmas traffic, he calls it. 3, 2, 1, liftoff. Signals mission control. And off they go to the dark parts of the planet in their pressurized spacesuits, cocooned in technology, the astronauts. Mission Control whispers in someone's ear. "Yes," she says, "I will." And in due time, a different traveler makes a quieter journey, arriving hungry, naked, but true to instructions, docking on Earth, taking one small step. Let's join our hearts in prayer. This then is how love is born, like a seed planted in the darkest of soils that rises to meet the sun's warming rays. So love emerges from the deepest places. Despite our willing it and without the force of hand, may love rise graciously to life. This then is how love is born. As the morning slowly dawns, first a sliver, then a burning horizon, causing the night to fade away, so love transforms our sorrow and our fear into our need, moving against resistance. May love change things in our lives and in the world. This then is how love is born. As winter's gentle hibernation gives way to the bursting of spring and the delights of summer, so love is woven through every season. Amidst our doubts and disappointments, when the sands seem to shift under our feet, may love be steadfast and present at all times. Amen. Oh, Mary, what an eventful year in your young life. How in the world did you manage it all? Tradition teaches that you were a teen, somewhere between 12 and 14. It was common in those days and in that place for girls of your age to be given to a man in a prearranged marriage. There's no reason for us to assume anachronistically that you weren't ready to be wed. You were already betrothed to Joseph, and your life was laid out for you as his wife. There really were no surprises here. We don't know much about you, actually, only what we can infer from Scripture and from tradition. Some Christians put you on a throne and call you the Queen of Heaven. Maybe that's so, but we Baptists and Congregationalists turn away from any notion of worshiping you. Some see you as a sort of submissive vessel through which God has his way. Too many of us Free Church folk have used this as a rationale for devaluating and subjugating women generally. Oh, Mary, what can we say about you on this Sunday when the lectionary text focuses on you and your role in the birth of Jesus? There you were, going about your business, the business of a young peasant bride-to-be in the Galilean village of Nazareth. Did you feel your wings had been clipped too soon? Were you resigned to your fate? Were you excited with the prospect of being married to a good man, a solid member of the community? Were you looking forward to having your own home and family? What were the thoughts of a young girl about to be wed in Galilee in the first century? There's a beautiful song that suggests you might have been a child who wandered wild along the sea, a holy child, Alone was she, and they called her Dreaming Mary. Were you a dreamer, Mary? Did you have an independent streak, along with a deep and holy bent, even at your tender age? Did you have an inkling that you were special, that amazing things were about to transform your seemingly unremarkable existence? Oh, Mary, there he was, appearing suddenly before you in all his radiant splendor, Gabriel, the angel of God. You were stopped in your tracks. What does one say to an angel who bursts on the scene unannounced? I would guess not much. Having been struck dumb with a combination of awe and wonder and terror. So the angel spoke first, uttering that standard assurance, "Do not be afraid." That's easy for the angel to say, but I imagine it would be difficult for you or me or Mary to just stuff our fear. This is beyond whistling a happy tune in hopes your fear will vanish. Now it's important to note that Mary does not flee in fear. Whatever is before her, she stands her ground. A good sign from a strong young woman. Her mind began to process what was before her. What had the angel said? "Greetings, favored one. The Holy One is with you." There was certainly the possibility of good news in that greeting. Unlike Morton Kelsey's friend, she did not turn away because she had seen some light and didn't like it. In fact, she seems drawn to the light with a simple, natural curiosity. She wondered about the affirmation in the angel's greeting. When he shared the rather remarkable news that she was to bear God's son, she still didn't flee in terror. She had practical concerns. The angel explained things as best he could, and as was her wont, she began to ponder these things in her heart. When God's representative came calling, she did not turn away in fear and indignation. She took the time to consider what this all meant. Am I truly favored? Do I feel the Holy One with me? Is this the word I've been waiting to hear all of my brief life? Am I worthy? As Kelsey notes, the Holy not only gives human an overwhelming sense of being loved, but also makes demands on them just by appearing to them. But here's the thing. Mary was free to say, "No, thank you." And I think she knew that. Yes, she would have to explain all this to Joseph and the family and the village, and there was certainly the possibility of scandal if she said yes. Oh, Mary, what are you going to do with such an invitation to bear the Son of God? In the end, her willingness to consider something radically out of the ordinary bode well for her. And friends, for us, her life is shaped by this great faith claim, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Clearly, she had some deeper understanding of that proclamation. "Then let it be so," she responded. "Here I am, the servant of the Holy One. Let it be with me according to your word." I hear no subjugation here, no resignation to a fate she couldn't control. These are active words of her acceptance of what is being offered. Mission control whispers in someone's ears. Yes, she says, I will. Maybe I'm too quick to read excitement and joy into her response, but it seems real to me. And the writer of Luke affirmed the excitement and joy of this time in Mary's life when he had her cousin Elizabeth greet the young pregnant girl with these words, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by God." Blessed is the one who believes God's promises and acts to make them real. Oh, Mary, what was it like to be so blessed, to be the chosen of God? Filled with the very presence of God, Mary, her voice growing stronger daily, sang her own amazing song. My soul magnifies the Holy One, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. Excitement, joy, wonder to be chosen, to be blessed, to have God move in her and through her. Whether the rest of that hymn sprang from the depths of her own being, or Luke thought so highly of her, he gave her these prophetic words, it's less important than the actual proclamation. She sings, God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestor, to Abraham and Sarah, and to their descendants forever. Oh, Mary, thank you for your faith to follow and your willingness to act to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to life among us. May we take heart from your willing witness and do likewise. Amen.